No member who is offended by a post should respond on the listserv or other online medium to any post that violates the above guidelines. The member should immediately inform the administrators of the violation. Persons who respond to the violator to scold or complain are themselves in violation of the rules. The co-chairs are the primary officers responsible for enforcement of the guidelines and proper dissemination of information to members. The process for dealing with violations will be as follows. First violation warning: subscribers violating the rules for the first time will generally receive a communication from the administrators.
Rita?
The appropriate nature of the postings. Yes, Sue?
Before you go any further, can we just talk about the first part so we don't get too much? Is the part that's in bold, is that new?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be...
From here on down, item 11 is not taken from the national guidelines.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is going to be a new teaching for people on our listserv in the Green Party. I don't think I've come across people doing that.
Hey, you can't believe some of the stuff that goes on the listserv in Michigan.
Oh. I mean, I like the rule. It's just I'm thinking it's going to take work to incorporate it into everybody's, you know, practice. That's it. It's a practice.
Well, it's just a question. Everybody should be polite and professional and behave themselves.
Right. But now, you know, this is specifically someone says something that's off. Not respond to them on the listserv, but go to the...
Well, for instance, if somebody attacks you and says, Sue, you're a great big idiot, you don't respond to that and say, no, I'm not, and start arguing with him.
Or call him a name back.
Right. You don't do that.
Okay.
Because that just gets the ball rolling, you know. That's what gets all this bickering and stuff going on a site, is when somebody responds to somebody who makes an ad hominem attack.
Right.
Believe me, I know.
Yes. No, I agree.
Am I right, Erin? Erin fell asleep. Okay.
You're right.
Oh, I'm right. Okay.
Right. I'm playing with the pen.
Oh, okay.
In order to make that highlighted bold, which is very important, very, very important, I think, to keeping the committee working together, can you put it as a separate paragraph? Keep it bolded.
Yeah, we can do that. That's not a problem here.
Okay.
And do it like that.
Yeah, with some space
in here.
Yeah.
All right, and the space at the bottom, like that. Does that look better?
Yeah, it sets it not only the bowl, but the space sets it apart as the important.
I probably should put a space here too.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, then we go on down to first violation is a warning. Oops, where did I lost it here. Okay. Subscribers violating the rules will generally receive a communication from the administrators about the inappropriate nature. Second violation within a six-month period, the subscriber will be notified and asked to review the rules, and subsequent postings will be subject to approval prior to posting for a period of time commensurate with the seriousness of the incident, 1 to 4 weeks. If deemed appropriate, the member will be asked to provide public apologies. third violation within 6 months. Period. We suspend posting privileges.
Rita, can we talk about it? Rita, can we?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening. What?
Yeah. This. So someone is nasty and calls someone a name on the listserv.
Yeah.
And the other person is not going to respond. They're going to call you up on the phone or whatever and say, "This has just happened. It's upsetting." Da da da. What do the people on the listserv? They're sort of hanging there with this. This nasty message.
Is it? Leave it hang.
Leave it hang?
Yeah. Yeah. Once it's on the listserv, it's archived anyway.
Right.
And people shouldn't be doing that. You know, they shouldn't be attacking other people and saying nasty things.
I'm just wondering if the administrator should send out some message that this message has been such and such.
Oh, well, you know, if you give some person a warning that, you know, their message was inappropriate, there's no problem with posting on the list, for the administrator to post on the list that, you know, that we have responded to so-and-so's message because it's a violation of our rules. And
okay, so that would go on the listserv. So the people on the listserv would understand that it was moderated.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, like one of the co-chairs could say, you know, we have... the above message is a violation of our rules, and we have issued a warning to the person who made the comments and such.
Right, but it's
so
not...
that people will know that that somebody paid attention to it and did something about it.
That's what I'm saying. That the people on the listserv need to know that, and we should write something to that in here. That would be.
You want that in there?
I think so. What do other people feel?
Okay, administrator should let other people know that.
Administrator will send a notice to the listserv.
Should send a notice to the list, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm putting it on my list here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That's under what? Item 12, right? I think that's 12. No, that's under 11. Okay. Third violation is suspension of posting privileges for a time commensurate with the seriousness of the incident, which would be 1 to 3 months. The member must request reinstatement with the understanding that further violations will result in immediate suspensions if the violations are made within 1 month of the suspension. Okay. I should say the suspension period. Let me see here, that's C. I can do that right now. Okay. Extreme incident. Posting of illegal material, purposefully disseminating of viruses or unintentional, unprovoked personal attacks or threats of violence will result in immediate suspension of posting privileges. Okay. That's pretty clear, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're on to item 12.
Okay.
Observers and advisors. Observers may be appointed by state parties or caucuses for a two-year term or less if advised by the state party or caucus. Observers who are not members of any accredited state Green Party or have not been appointed by a state party or caucus may be appointed to a two-year term if recommended by a committee member and formally approved by the membership. Observers do not have voting rights. Observers may participate on the listserv or other means of online communication and take part in meeting discussions. However, this participation may be limited by the officers if there are too many observers on the committee to effectively handle decisions and committee business. Any questions? No?
Yeah.
Okay, Sue.
I'm just wondering, should observers be able to participate on the listserv? Since they're observers.
I think so. They don't have voting rights. It says they can participate. However, if the participation may be limited if there are too many observers on the committee and effectively handle discussions and committee business. I don't think it hurts, but unless you have a lot of observers and you need to limit the number of people that are taking part in discussions. You can't refuse to let members take part in discussions. So. We only have one observer right now anyway, so.
Okay.
You know, some rules say that observers cannot participate at all. And I don't think that we want to do that.
Well, I thought that's what the definition of observer was. They just observed.
Well, it's sort of an observer is somebody who's kind of on the committee, but hasn't been formally appointed by a state or a caucus. Think Will Decker, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
But Will, I don't think wanted. He wasn't interested in participating. He wanted to observe.
Okay, that's fine. He can observe. He doesn't have to participate.
Okay. Okay. I guess in my head, based on my experience this past summer on
yeah.
the National Committee, observers just observed, and the advisors were the ones that participated.
Not necessarily, you know. On the National Committee.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about a great big committee, that has representatives from all the states and caucuses.
Right.
Okay, and that's a different kind of committee.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't have observers taking part in discussions on there. There would be too many. There are a lot of Green Party members that observe the National Committee.
Yeah.
And I think it would be way too confusing because you've got 130 some members or something to have observers on there trying to take part in the discussions.
Okay. But then what's the difference between on our committee between an observer and an advisor?
I don't know. I'm not sure because the GPUS bylaws don't really delineate what part a advisor is supposed to take in any committees.
Well, shouldn't we put something in here what our definition of the two are?
Well, I want to try to define them?
Well, with the help of other people.
May I interject? It seems to me that an observer really does not have the ability to participate. You know, they shouldn't be commenting on the email list or the group listserv. However, somebody who may be a step up, maybe an advisor, is an observer who's allowed to comment. Okay. They're not allowed to vote, but they're allowed to comment. Maybe that's the difference you want to make?
Perhaps, yeah.
That makes sense to me.
You know, I don't know that I have a problem with observers. And the reason is, I'm on the co-chair of the Peace Action Committee, and we have an observer on there who is very active with us. I mean, he does a lot of work, a lot of research, does a lot of things very actively. But he's only an observer because he hasn't been formally appointed by a state party. So I don't necessarily think we should state in our rules that they cannot participate.
Is he waiting to be appointed by the state party?
Well, the problem is he doesn't really care whether the state party appoints him or not. So it's kind of a strange situation, but he's very active and participates and really does offer a lot to the committee, you know. So I guess it's kind of up to the, we could make it, optional, or we could make it, we could say that they may not participate or may not participate in discussions unless requested. How would that be?
Well, Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I would suggest that the observers can be appointed by, approval of the members of the committee, right?
They can be, yes.
And is there some reason that advisors could not be, that advisors are not appointed in that way? How are advisors appointed?
Well, I haven't quite gotten to that yet, okay? When we get down to B, when we talk about advisors, because, the national bylaws are absolutely silent about that. I'm not sure. I mean, they don't define what an advisor is.
Okay, well, I like Alfred's idea that we distinguish them by their ability to participate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I like the idea that they can, either one can be designated by the consent of the committee members.
Okay.
And therefore, if we have somebody who's like your Peace Action Committee person, they would be an advisor. Whereas you have somebody who just wants to hang out and listen, or who just wants to kind of know what's going on, they could be an observer.
Okay. So we want to...
I second that. I like that.
Okay. So an observer does not participate, but advisor does, but we can change an observer to an advisor, is what you're suggesting.
Correct.
Okay. Observer not participate and advisor participate. Okay.
And both are...
Neither one can vote, though.
Right. They can't vote, but,
Yeah. Okay.
And both of them are agreed to by the committee by vote?
Right.
Or by consensus or whatever.
Consensus or two-thirds majority vote, something like that?
Yeah. Well, according to our normal, let's flop back up there for a minute because that's in here. Okay, let's see here. It's under our decision-making stuff. Okay. Okay, approval of observers who are not members of the state party and advisors, I guess.
Yeah, of approvers or advisors. Or observers who are not members of a state party. What about if they are a member of a state party, but they're the same, right?
We don't need to go through a formal approval if they are a member of a state party.
I'm confused.
Generally, if somebody just wants to be an observer on your committee, most of the committees just simply allow them to be observers.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
On standing committees, yeah. And really, they shouldn't participate in a discussion. They should be observers.
Well, let me ask you something. I thought that and I haven't been on very many committees. This is my first U.S. committee. So I thought that a listserv of a committee was is to be kept within the committee.
No, I there's not any problem with keeping the observers. They can. It's up to the listed administrator. Okay, if we want the observers to be able to observe the list, but not post on it, we can put them under moderation, which means that their posts have to be approved by someone.
But. Nobody on the listserv, correct me if I'm wrong, because this was my sort of understanding, that if there was a message on the listserv that was not to be made public, like sent to other committees.
Run that by me again. Okay, I must be getting tired here.
Kevin Stagg.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah.
Sue, I think that, you know, you're raising the question that if you have observers, that it will be more difficult to maintain confidentiality.
And
I think that stands to reason. If you've got people watching you, it's going to be harder to keep it secret. Yeah, it's okay. I think we're fine. I think we're fine on where we're at. What we've got, I think, is fine. Now, you know, because if the state designates a member of the committee, then we don't have. It's the state that has the right to the state party that has the right.
Right. Yes.
So
right.
We can't. We don't vote on approving what the states decide. But if somebody wants to participate in the committee and they don't have a state party, or don't want to, or for whatever reason the state party doesn't appoint them, but we still want them to be on the committee, then we can approve them to participate as an observer or an advisor.
Okay, so our committee is the only one that's going to approve advisors.
Right, they're not going to, they're not going to come from any other source. This is just a way to get participation in the committee under another form as just a member, like, you know,
okay.
you don't have to be a member, yeah. But you still
Alfred back.
Go ahead, Alfred.
Yeah, just basically, you know, if somebody's making trouble, I mean, you know, the committee should have the right, or the administrator of the list or the chair of this committee should be able to kick them off if they're in trouble.
No. Okay, if they are not a member of the state party, we absolutely have that, you know, that right to do that.
Right.
There's no question about that. I mean, it may not be stated in here implicitly, but we can't automatically throw somebody out who's a member of a state party.
I think that if they're not a member of the committee, in other words, if they've not been appointed by the state, then we should be able to throw them off.
Yeah, we can. That's what she said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, I think that Ms. Peters, I think what you're concerned about is a little bit of the privacy or something there, but it's like, you know, I think I want to put it, you know, we're basically a public thing. You know, yes. There really is no real expectation of privacy on this committee. Now, if someone is just making trouble, obviously we get rid of them if they're an advisor or an observer, if they're problematic in some kind of way.
Yes, we can do that.
Well, what where I was coming from about confidentiality is a caucus that I'm on, there was a lot of disruption from another committee, and there was charges that messages to one of the listservs should not have been made public, and it was made public by sharing it with this other group, you know, between the two groups.
Yeah, are you talking about the Women's Caucus?
Yeah.
Well, they have all these big secrecy rules and all that stuff.
Oh, so that's not in general?
No, it's not in general.
Okay, so if
may I make this mention? You know, if you want to, you know, talk amongst individuals, I mean, there's nothing barring people from, you know, just talking with each other
off
the main list.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can I send messages that people have sent to our listserv to other members of the Green Party? That's what I'm worried about. Because it seems to be a lot of issues, very strong issues about that going on, sharing
it. I think so. This Kevin Unstack, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
I tend to favor the type of rule that since we cannot assure the confidentiality of any message, it's on the computer, and there's no way, it's a public archive, anyone can copy it who has access to the list, and basically that's going to be just about anyone who cares to see what's on there. So we cannot assure any kind of confidentiality at
right.
all.
Yeah.
And I think that we should just make it clear in the rules that there is no such thing as confidentiality in this list.
Okay. I'll throw that in there somewhere.
Yeah, because I think that, Sue, the reason we have to say that is not that, you know, I can imagine that there would be some things you would want to discuss in more of a private way, especially to avoid controversy if someone's attacking us, which they might, you know, some anti-monetary reform group, the same way they do climate change or any other number of things that people try to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, we just are not going to be able to prevent them from republishing things, and we just can't. That's just something that we're not going to be able to do through the list, is to do anything that's going to be secretive.
Okay, yes. That's fine. I just needed clarification. You know.
Yeah.
And our list right now, the listserv is archived that we have. You know, so. I mean, those messages will be there forever.
Yeah. Right. If you expect your message to be private, then, you know, you're just going to be disappointed. If there's something if there's something in it that's confidential or that you know, is embarrassing or whatever,
yeah, well,
and someone, and you put it out there, you know, and someone wants to use it against you, it'll be there.
Yeah, it's a flag to, you know,
I mean, if they discover that we've got a secret free silver movement, you know, with everybody else is a green backer.
Of the gold standard.
You know. I mean, we want privacy, but it just ain't there. You know?
Yeah, right. I agree.
That's great.
Yeah, any of these, you know, when you got The states can appoint up to 3 members on every committee. You know, you got 40 states out there, and each can contribute 3 members. If they all did that, you could end up with 120 members on this committee, and you cannot be assured of any kind of privacy in that situation.
Right.
So, you know. We don't have any control over who the states appoint. That's the problem, you know. So we got to take whoever we get.
Well, yeah.
I think we need to look into this free silver thing. That's an interesting idea.
Well, then, you know, Rita, what you've just expressed is the you know, the problem of democracy, right?
I believe we should have transparency. You know, that's how the world works these days.
One last question about what you have up on the screen. After approval of observers who are not members of a state party, is there going to be another bullet point for advisors, just in general? Don't we vote on them? Consensus?
I would say no, because if we go down to the bottom here about advisors, let's see. They have to have the express invitation of the committee. All right. So we don't, if we expressly invite them to be an advisor to the committee, then we're not going to vote on them, because we've already supposedly done that, made a decision about.
I don't understand what the process is. Give me an example.
Okay, Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I'll try to explain to Sue what is the contemplation here. Okay, so the idea of these committees is that sometimes you would think the committee's going to be doing something so important that it needs to bring in outside expertise. And so the advisor role is really technically for that person. That's why it's different from an observer. But we don't expect that to happen. So the advisor, especially with the idea that you have to ask them to be an advisor, that the committee is supposed to vote to request them to become an advisor, this is the search for the outside expertise.
Yeah.
And so I still think that our best thing to do with all this is to just have the advisor language in there, but expect that we would make people who want to participate but don't have a state party to do it through that
observation.
That, yeah, they don't want to just observe. They want to be able to do more stuff and have some standing as a, you know, as,
yeah,
more than an observer. So then we would ask them to be an advisor.
Okay.
That's what I'm expecting.
Okay. Right.
Where that's going to be.
Yeah. Well, that's what I have here, that the state parties and caucuses may not appoint advisors to the committee without the express invitation of the committee.
Right. Right.
If they want to invite somebody from some state party.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, you know, that a state party cannot appoint somebody to be an advisor to your committee if you haven't invited them.
Right.
So.
Sue Stack.
I do have here that advisors must be approved in accordance with formal approval procedure. So, I guess we would probably go through a formal procedure to decide whether or not we wanted to invite someone to be an advisor.
Right. I would hope so.
Okay. And you know, yes, I would hope so too.
So that would go added to the list.
Well, we do have up here, let me go back up there here, where we have our decision-making stuff. Okay. Here, down at the bottom here, we have this little catch-all. Other actions deemed by the officers important enough to require approval by the committee. So, you know, if we wanted to approve John Smith as an advisor to the committee, I would think that the officers would take that to the committee and explain why we want the approval for an advisor.
Sue Stafford.
Go ahead, Sue.
I think we should make it explicit so that there's no question. Oh, what did we talk about last year about advisors? You know, what? I mean, if there's something that needs to be voted, you know, consensus and or voting, I think it should be in this list, no?
Okay.
What other people think?
Well, I can add it there. I can, you know, we can put approval of advisors or observers who are not members of a state committee.
Yeah. So, Kevin, let me see if I understood what you just said. So, an advisor is someone who has some expertise that the committee wants.
Right.
And advisors are members of state parties, or they can be and not?
The advisor could be anybody that you want.
Okay. Yeah, they don't have to be a member of the state committee.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I'll throw it up here under the actions requiring formal approval. Okay.
And Rita, just, you know, in the descriptions of observer and advisor, just, you know, make it clear the difference.
Okay, I'll try. But my, you know, the problem I ran into here is, like you said, at the national level, they don't really define either one, or, you know, they don't give you any guidelines to go by. And they have the most confusing rule on it. It, you know, it just kind of boggled my mind for a while.
Wait, where?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Back to your list of things that we have to vote on.
Okay. We don't necessarily have to vote. We have to follow formal decision making.
Okay.
So, okay.
And
you want to put that in here right now in case you think I'll forget?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so we want to say advisors, approval of advisors.
Make it a separate one. Leave the observers alone.
I will, because otherwise it's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it sounds like whatever was going over there in the Women's Caucus was really powerful emotionally.
Yeah.
Something was going on there that was big. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it was very upsetting. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, that, approval of advisors and approval of observers who are not members of a state party. Okay?
That's why discussing, you know, what can happen in a listserv is, on this committee is important. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why what happened on this listserv is important. I'm, you know, including attacks from outside entities, so.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have a question on the second item, publication of information.
Okay.
Let's suppose that this committee grows to have, you know, 35, 40 people or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe 50 people.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling is we need to be putting out a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally want everyone on the committee to understand that at some point they're supposed to have some contribution to our, you know, they're supposed to put together or participate in writing an article or a video or something. I mean, you know,
okay.
I kind of want that to be the atmosphere or
well, that would be a good goal. However, I don't think it hurts at all to have people on the committee who maybe are not good writers.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And they don't have to be good writers. But the thing about it is that you have publication of information that has to be approved by a formal approval of membership.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, I think that well, it's kind of a tricky point, but I think that okay, I'm not going to say anything about it. We'll see how it works.
Okay. If it doesn't work, well, you know, we will. I'm sure if we get a lot of members, we'll have subcommittees.
Right.
That work on some of this, so the subcommittee can hash it all out and get it ground up, and then bring it to the membership and say, "Here it is." You know.
Right. Right.
And I don't really think that's going to be a big problem.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, that's my only comment.
We just need to make sure the subcommittees operate properly, so that they do what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
And I say that because we have some standing committees in our state party that virtually don't do anything. They're supposed to do things, and they just don't do it.
Right. Right.
So, you know,
well, in Texas, we don't even have committees. I mean, there are supposedly committees.
Yeah.
But we don't have the level of participation that we should have. But
we don't either. So, and it gets very difficult at times. So, okay. That's pretty much, we've gone through the, oops, let me get back down to the bottom here. Oh, I did make a note here that any references to listserv within the rules is intended to include any other online form of written communication that may be adopted by the committee in place of the current listserv being used.
And you should change that to be email. Email list.
Well, written online form of written communication would almost have to be email.
No, you mean any reference to email list, because we changed the listserv. Oh, it was in the document that we changed it.
Yeah, right.
Right, okay.
Okay, and I've used listserv throughout this, but any reference to listserv within the rules is intended to include any other online form of written communication that may be adopted in place of the current listserv being used. It may not be email. I mean, you know, on my other committee, we use Slack for certain projects that we work on and things.
Right.
And, you know, there are other ways other than this emailing on a listserv. So. Okay. Well, that's the bottom line of what I have done on the rules so far.
Okay, comment. One more comment.
Yeah, okay.
And in place of, you know, you have in place of, and I would add the word in or in addition.
Oh, okay. In place of or in addition, okay. Okay. No problem with that.
All right.
Now, so for right now, we've gotten through all this. I do want to look over a couple more sets of committee rules that are in place in other committees and make sure that we haven't maybe left out something that might be important for our committee. And I haven't done that quite yet. So at least what we've got written now, we all agree on. And I will see in the meantime if there's something else I think that might need to be added, but I don't know that there is. So unless somebody has some explicit items in mind that they think might be appropriate to add. I hear silence. The silence is deafening.
Approve it. enthusiastic approval. That's
okay. But I do want to just, you know, do a little bit more. what do we say? Belt and suspenders on the rules to just make sure we've got it all.
Yeah, but it's a pretty good job right now, though. I'm pretty happy with them.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Rita, I want to thank you for all your hard work on these rules.
You're welcome.
I think only a lawyer could do something like that.
Well, that's...
Wow.
You know, I was reading some rules on one of the other committees that are just horrible. I think they were written, obviously, by a lawyer who's never had any training in plain English writing.
Yeah.
They're terrible. I can't remember which committee that was, but... it's the International Committee. Their rules are awful. You know, just terrible. And they go on for pages and pages and pages.
I've never heard of an International Committee.
Oh, yeah, we've got an International Committee. If you get a chance someday, go on the DPUS website and look at, you know, just click on committees up in the corner and start looking at the different committees. If you get to the International Committee, look at their rules. They're just horrible. I read through about half of them the other day, and I thought, this is absolutely ridiculous. Expect somebody, you know, to be able to read and understand what they're talking about and make all the cross references in it. No, so.
Yeah. Is it the committee a functional committee? Does it do anything?
Well, from what I understand, it doesn't. They have like 50 members on that committee. And the members are supposed to be reappointed by their state parties, but nobody has kept track of when anybody was appointed or how long their terms are or anything. And so, you know, every time states appoint somebody, they just add them. So so they don't really know anymore who's in the committee. It's a mess. Wes is on that committee. Ask Wes about it someday.
All right.
Yeah. Wes and I have been talking about it because he knows I've been writing these rules. And I've been asking him questions about rules. And I was thinking at some point it would be nice for this group to work with the international group to see if there are green parties in other countries who are dealing with monetary issues like this.
And I think there are.
And yeah, and I think Howard contacted somebody in one of the other countries, I'm not sure which one, about that. But, you know, it would be really nice if we could do that, you know, because this really is a global problem. It's not just the United States.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, it's the whole world is on this crazy system of funneling money to the bankers.
Can I add a couple of personal notes towards the end of the meeting here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Al.
Thank you. I'm going to be enrolling, you know, crossing my fingers here. I'm going to be enrolling at Houston Community College pretty soon, kind of get some retraining and hopefully have a new and different career, hopefully in computers, you know, computer system administration. The other thing I'm just kind of looking at, they're making it seem very, very simple, is to create cryptocurrencies. You know, it seems like it's kind of like a Wild West situation with cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
And that, or it's a penny stock market, which is a big old scam of some type.
Wow.
You know, it's like you're between one or the other. You know, you've got new settlers or you've got these scam artists, you know, who are just there to rip people off. So,
yeah.
You know, what do we do with this? And apparently you can make a few bucks at it legally, above board, ethically.
Yes.
And, you know, is that something, well, I won't bother this committee with it, but I just want to mention that this cryptocurrency, they make it seem like it's something easy to make.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, you know. In
Aaron's dad.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I just wanted to state that there are more and more reports that are coming out, you know, that indicates that the energy usage that it causes, that you have to use to mine these Bitcoins,
right. Yeah.
You know, is really terrible. And, you know, we probably shouldn't be encouraging cryptocurrency or at least not for blockchain to be used in this way where you had to continually mine because it's an energy suck.
Right. That's what I've read about it too, that the energy consumption in it is so bad and you know, and they hack into and steal your CPU usage in your computer to help mine these. I don't understand the whole thing about the mining, but that they can actually hack into some of the websites that you click on if they're not secure. They can get into the websites, and if you click on the website, they can use the CPU from your computer in their mining operations.
Yeah, Kevin's a zombie miner.
Kevin Stagg.
Yeah, Kevin.
Well, there's a lot to be said about Bitcoin. And, you know, on my side, from my opinion, the main reason that Bitcoin is interesting is because it is not a very good form of money. But they sold it as a money, and this is kind of a modern... well, anyway, I'm too tired to be coherent.
Yeah, it's getting late.
So, but if Alfred is, I don't know, I've already asked Alfred to do some work on a great idea that he got involved with or that he had talked about railroad systems. And
Evolutionary Rail is a group that I've talked with just yesterday. We had a conference call yesterday. And they're basically, they've all come up with the same things about infrastructure investment that I've come up with, I think that we're in the process of coming up with through the monetary reform that we want to do. You know, infrastructure bank, public banking, you know, they touch on all of that in relation to their railroad system up in the Northwest through Washington, you know, all the northern states going all the way to Chicago. They're suffering from the exact same things that, you know, the rest of the railroad system is suffering from. I've come up with a proposal, but I still need to get the second half of it or flesh it out more and get something written to Kevin and other committee members.
Okay, good.
So.
Good.
Okay. So the Bitcoin is along the same lines because there's lessons in how you can misrepresent money issues and use it as a scam. I mean, this is the greatest thing. You know, everyone's always trying to figure out how can I write my IOUs and turn them into money? And Bitcoin is a perfect scam that did that just by glorifying it as some kind of cryptocurrency. But it's like the computer mining that you're talking about. They're so much like other computer things that they can't come up with their own words. They have to use words like mining. But all mining is flopping the computer processor looking for prime numbers that will crack the code. And prime numbers are very difficult to compute it. And once you get past the first, I don't know, there's a certain number of prime numbers, and after that, they're still there, but they're extremely difficult to find. Once you get into larger numbers, and that's what all of the computing is about.
Yeah.
So they have to call it mining, but you know.
Well, I don't know. It all sounds pretty crazy to me.
it's a hustle, and it's a very well conceived hustle. But anyway,
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's like they're making.
I mean, right now they trade these bitcoins like a commodity, don't they? Buy and sell them.
Yeah, well, that's just how easy it is to get a commodity. If you will put money on it and on the exchange, people will trade it. I mean, they would trade. Yeah. They would trade lint if you could.
I should mention to you, there's a 24-hour donut store not too far from where I live. It has a high traffic. It's next to one area is just high traffic, and the other one is kind of mildly affluent. You know, it's near the medical school.
Yeah.
And also another area that's actually Rice University area. Anyway, this one 24-hour donut shop has an ATM machine that takes Bitcoin.
Yeah, there's one in my neighborhood too.
Really?
It's a gas station and party store combination thing.
Oh my goodness.
It's right off the freeway, so, they get a lot of traffic.
You know, I just want to say using the word mining, it makes this pseudo money something like a raw material, like it's valuable. It's like it's real wealth.
Right.
You know?
I mean, that's the whole point, is to give.
Like mining gold and silver, you mean?
Yeah. The use of words.
It could be coal, too, so.
Black gold.
Okay.
Well, I think we probably came to the end of what we needed to talk about tonight. So
Stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
Before we leave, I just need to confirm for the minutes, what I put in the minutes for what we decided on observers and advisors. Can I say it and then just tell
sure.
me, give me updates.
Okay. Yes.
Observers do not participate in the listserv but can read it. Observers can be appointed by state parties and caucuses. Observers who are not GP members must be approved to BMRC committee.
Yeah.
Okay. Advisors are requested by the committee and approved by the BMRC committee. They do not have to be Green Party members.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Got that correct? Okay, good.
Okay. If you put that in the minutes, I'll probably go look at them to make sure that that's what gets into our final rules.
Okay.
That'd be great. Okay. Anything else? Everybody ready to hit the sack soon?
I'm gonna go searching for that donut place. It's only about a four-hour drive from my house.
Let's see. Where does Alfred live? In Houston?
I'm in San Antonio.
And you're in San Antonio.
Well, right. Kevin, are you going for the donuts or the cryptocurrency?
San Antonio is north.
Interestingly, San Antonio is actually due west of Houston.
I think I've been to San Antonio. Hmm. Is it kind of close to New Mexico?
No.
What is?
The home of the Alamo.
Yeah.
Which airport or large city is closer to New Mexico?
Nothing is actually close to New Mexico. That's one of the interesting things about New Mexico.
Because I've been to one of El Paso, maybe? I don't remember.
Yes, El Paso is
El Paso.
Drive from New Mexico to Texas to pick my brother up at an airport, and I can't remember which city it was.
It would have had to have been El Paso.
El Paso, okay.
Right.
Okay. That's about the sum total of my visits to Texas.
Well, it's true that there is nothing that is close to, well, don't let anyone from El Paso hear me say that, but.
Yeah.
But El Paso's actually not that bad. But, Texas is huge, but the western part of Texas gets more and more barren as you go, and then finally you get to New Mexico.
Okay. Well, New Mexico is pretty barren too.
very, except for the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Really beautiful.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it's time for us to adjourn.
Okay.
And that was so nice of Zoom to make that gift for us.
I'm not sure.
Generosity. Generosity. Their hearts beat with generosity. That's yeah. What they're about.
And just wait till their stock goes public.
Right.
They'll be just like AT&T and Comcast and all those other lovely big corporations.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder who's funding Zoom.
Well, anyway,
cryptocurrency.
Stop the sharing here on the
okay. It's the Silicon Valley investors. I mean, you know, Zoom. But these things are, I would not invest in these companies because I got an invite from Alfred or something to do something on LinkedIn. You know, that's another one.
Right.
And I noticed that LinkedIn is becoming to look very much like Facebook.
Yes. Yeah.
And so this is the problem that all of these companies have. They can only be unique for a short period of time.
Yeah, and then they copycats.
Right, and Zoom just has a good audiovisual, platform. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
I'm sure that there are people already busily knocking them off, and writing code that does exactly the same thing that's not covered by their patents.
Yeah.
So, software patents are a ridiculous concept. But anyway.
Intellectual property.
Right. So, I mean, Zoom might be good, but it's any of these companies are even Facebook. I mean, they just, you know, the moment will come when the idiots on Wall Street realize that they don't have a monopoly anymore. And that'll be the end of that company or the end of their stock or whatever. So anyway. In the meantime, we got to watch our videos on Zoom.
Okay. Well, I move that we adjourn our meeting.
Second.
We don't follow.
Second.
Okay.
We don't really follow Robert's rules of order, but I think we just had consensus.
Right.
See y'all next week then.
I hope everyone enjoyed the meeting, and I hope you all will come back.
I appreciate everybody's humor.
Yeah, we're having a good time tonight. So last time we spent the entire time on those crazy rules, and you know, so I'm glad that we got through the little bit we had to go through tonight. So okay, see y'all next week. Have a nice week.
Great.
And Sue, good luck at the dentist tomorrow.
I'm going to click the end meeting button.
Okay, fine.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.